God's word for our consideration comes from the gospel lesson we just heard a moment ago. I will read the last verse. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." The gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was in the car with three students from Kingdom Prep Lutheran High School. We were talking about what they wanted to be when they grow up. Now, most of the jobs that they mentioned in that conversation were great jobs. In fact, they would earn a lot of money from those jobs. While I admire their determination to make a better living for themselves, their priorities were not solely on God. What they seemed to be invested in were earthly priorities. Priorities such as fame, fortune, and wealth. What do we like to invest in? I think there are many things that come to mind when we think about this question. One, I think, is our money. When we see our bank account grow, we get happy, we get excited. Another is our jobs. We invest in our jobs by putting our effort and all our time and all our sweat and our tears into that one job. And one final one is our family. We love to invest in our family by aiding them along the way, loving them when they need it, and being there for them in times of trouble. Our gospel reading for today teaches us to invest. But what are we to invest in? Are we to invest in our jobs, our school, our family, our friends? All these things are blessings of God. All these things require our care and attention. But in today's gospel reading, we will hear the most important investment of all: Jesus as our heavenly treasure. And we will do that by rejecting the poverty of earthly gain and relying on the power of God and not man. A couple paragraphs before our reading, Jesus was talking with the Pharisees. And they were talking to each other about divorce. The Pharisees happened to be free and easy about divorce. After their conversation, Jesus would condemn them for having hard hearts. Next, just right before our text, we heard it earlier today, that Jesus was coming, Jesus was allowing the little children to come to him. But the disciples were not allowing that to happen. And so Jesus rebukes them. And so after Jesus is done blessing the children and talking with them, he's about to leave. And here's where our reading picks up. There's a young man who happens to be a young rich man and a young ruler who possibly might have heard Jesus talk about divorce. He comes running to Jesus and kneels before Jesus, and he has a big question. "Good teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus then answers with the question, "Why do you call me good?" And Jesus goes on, "No one is good except God alone." Jesus then slowly takes him down the commandments, slowly showing him the second table of the law, where he says in verse 19, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The man responds, "Yes, I have done all those things. I have kept those things since I was a kid." The man was only concerned about the outward obedience to these laws. But then Jesus pops his bubble and shifts his focus from the outward obedience to these laws to the inner attitude of his heart. Jesus points him from the sin that he lacks, and he tells him to give up his wealth and follow him. But he doesn't. The man goes away sad. Why would Jesus treat him like that? The man is a good man, wouldn't you say so? After all, he's kept the commandments. He hasn't lied. He hasn't stolen anything. He hasn't murdered anyone. He's obeyed his father and mother. I wonder if we were in those same shoes, talking with Jesus, would we say the same thing? Jesus, I'm a good person. I haven't lied. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't murdered anyone. Not to mention, I've obeyed my father and mother. I have kept the commandments since I was a kid, since my baptism, since my confirmation. But when we think we have kept those commandments, we may not have murdered anyone, but we may have had hatred in our hearts for another person. We might not have stolen anything, but jealousy and envy are there as we envy someone else's things. And we might have told a half-truth, and the person's gone away all happy for now, till he finds out the full truth, and he comes to you, and all he has is sadness and angry. And all you can do is feel nothing but guilt. And that is when Jesus pops our bubble. He says, you are doing all these things, but with the wrong motivation. You are not obeying me. You are putting your earthly priorities over me. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. By nature, we love to put our earthly priorities over our heavenly ones. We love to feed our earthly successes. And it may be money, it may be fame, it may be love of a family. But each and every misplaced earthly priority takes God and shoves him to the side. It takes God. He's supposed to be number one in our lives. And makes him a distant second. Jesus then turns to his disciples. And he tells them how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And he says this again. And the disciples are so amazed. But then he gives them this crazy analogy between a camel fitting through the eye of a needle. And the disciples are so baffled, they are so amazed that they ask, who can be saved? And Jesus responds to them with God, this is possible. And not with man. See, Jesus was using this as a teaching moment for his disciples and for us. That we cannot rely on our outward works, earthly successes, or earthly priorities. Jesus was showing to his disciples and us that the only way that we can invest in our heavenly treasure is relying on God and not on our own earthly priorities. At this point, you're probably thinking, this is impossible. I try to rely on God, but then there's so many earthly things that I need to focus on. And it's a never-ending scale of trying to do the right thing, but failing. I leave one answer for you. Look to the one who has done it for you. See, Jesus in his life relied on his Heavenly Father. And we see that firsthand as he was tempted in the wilderness. The devil, in one of his temptations, was going to give Jesus the world. Jesus would have the successes of the world in an instant. But what does Jesus say in Matthew 4, verse 10? He says this. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus relied on God alone. And he used God's word to show that he only worships God. Another time when Jesus was relying and investing in his Heavenly Father was when the Pharisees were trying to get him into a trap. See, the Pharisees were going to ask him this question. Who should we pay taxes to? Caesar or to God? And what does Jesus say in Matthew 22? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what's God's. Who did Jesus focus on? The Pharisees were trying to get him into a trap. But notice that Jesus doesn't say either or. He says, give your money to Caesar, but also to God. Jesus wanted them to do the right thing by paying the tax that was due to Caesar, but also giving to God what is ultimately his. And by doing that, he doesn't hesitate to show where his priority lies. It is in the one who gives him the gives us the money in the first place. It is God. Finally, Jesus was casting out the money changers in Matthew 21. He was going to show them what is most important. It is not making a profit at the expense of our relationship with God. Instead, it's relying on God. God is the one whom we should focus in his house. He writes in verse 13, my house is a house of prayer, but they are making it a house of robbers. Jesus focused solely on his Heavenly Father. He invested and relied solely in his Heavenly Father throughout his life. And Jesus invested in the heavenly treasure that was for you and for me. So much so that he took his perfection to the cross for you and me. He took on our love of focusing on our earthly possessions. He looked out from that cross and loved you from that cross. And as he loved the rich man who went away from him, so he loves you too. He bled, was beaten, and died for you. He took the double-edged sword and cut through our sin of focusing on earthly priorities over God, so that in God's sight, we may be made blameless. In God's sight, our love of focusing on earthly priorities is no longer a part of us. And to prove that that victory is ours, he rose for us. You have been made clean. You and your salvation was Jesus' number one priority. Friends, do not rely on the power of money or the power of earthly priorities. Instead, rely on the power of Jesus and the power of his grace, because it is in that power you are conquering your love of earthly possessions. It is in that power you are squashing your love of wealth. It is with that power you are rejecting the love of earthly gain that is so often put over your Savior, and then cling to the heavenly treasure that is only found in Jesus alone. But where can we find that power? Friends, you know where it is. That power is in you whenever and wherever you read His word. That power is in you whenever you eat and drink of the Lord's Supper. That power is in you as you remember your baptisms, like the one we had today. You have that power as you sit in the pews and listen to God's word being proclaimed to you. See, your heavenly treasure is not just awaiting you in heaven as your final reward. He is with you now in our hearts. So, where do we invest our time, our talents, our energy? Is it in earthly priorities? Do not get me wrong. We do need to set aside time to focus on them. But do not let your earthly priorities override your heavenly treasure. Focus on Jesus, your heavenly treasure that outweighs all the earthly priorities that we have in this life. After all, Jesus is our heavenly treasure. Amen.